May I speak the words not of me, but of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please sit. Well, today disaster has struck me. I am not a great lover of modern technology, but I do tend to do my sermons when I do them on the computer, and I always like to print them off, and so I've got them here in a hard copy. At the moment, as I think a lot of you know, we've recently moved and our printer hasn't been taken out of its box yet. And I had all my sermon on the computer this morning. I went to open it up here and it has crashed. It's nowhere to be found. So this morning, I'm afraid, you're going to have to put up with me telling you the best I can from the notes I've made, which by all means weren't complete. So I do apologize now. So it's Remembrance Day. It's the Sunday that's nearest to Armistice Day. It's a time when many of us around the world pause for a moment and we remember, we reflect and mourn. Now, as I mentioned, Linda and I moved recently, and whilst we were packing, I found a few photos of my grandfather. One of them in particular always sticks in my mind. Of the trenches, and he's with his comrades, he's smiling, and he's with a big, big field gun. Now, we're lucky my grandfather survived the Great War. My father survived the Second World War, otherwise I wouldn't have been here today. My grandfather in that photo was probably around about 21, 22. And the people around those days, a lot of them went to war and died, were younger than that. And I think that it's something that we need to know. Here am I trying to had some figures for you to tell you, and I've definitely not got those. Yes, a lot of them were, I say, under 21. They went, a lot of them were really keen and joined up because they were eager to go to war. There were those that waited their time, and they went to war, and they did it because it was their duty. And a lot of them died. A lot of them also were, those that were doing their honor, there are an awful lot of civilians and non-combatants that were also killed. And it's that we also remember today. Now, it's not just the First World War, of course, that we remember those who died, but of course so also the other subsequent wars. There's the Second World War, the Korea, Northern Ireland, the Falklands, the Gulf War, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria. And there, I say their willingness in all those people who died, their willingness to do their duty, to serve their country, to face the danger. And it's still a thing of honor. As we seek to remember those people this morning, I just want to share a statistic with you. According to Wikipedia, there are still currently 4 armed conflicts going on in the world where over 10,000 people have been killed this year. And since the end of the Second World War, British troops have been killed every single year apart from one. And that was 1968. And of today's war dead, only 1 in 10 is a soldier. So 90% of the victims of war are civilians. And over half of them are children. So I think that is the reason why war has got to stop. And I think we need to pray and work all the harder towards that end. Now, today I have three problems. One, my computer's crashed. The second one is that this is my first time I have spoken at a remembrance service. And it's something that I don't know, as I'm standing here saying these things, and I expect a lot of us will agree with what I have to say, I don't actually think it's an adequate response. It doesn't feel worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who spoke truths that were so deep that it was actually changed people's lives, the way they lived their lives. And the second problem I have this morning actually is our text. We read of Paul writing to a community in crisis in the Thessalonians, and he's not telling them what they should believe, but how they should live. Now, there could have been all sorts of statements that he could have said. He could have ridiculed the godless. He could have criticized the Romans. Or he could have made fun of those who persecuted them. And then everybody would have rallied around him, and they would have all felt the better, and they would have said, oh, well, what a great leader he is. What a great letter he's written to us. Now, Paul, in his wisdom, didn't do the thing that we perhaps expected him to do. He writes about people, how they live their lives. He doesn't write about how people talk about their lives, but how he lives their lives. He writes about the importance of the example that Paul himself has set. And at least by implication, the importance of the examples that they have set. He's not talking about war and peace, because that at the time was not a situation that the Thessalonians were facing. But if he had, I mean, I can imagine his response would have been fairly similar. Because he doesn't actually end his message by saying, never tire of believing what is right. He says, never tire of doing what is right. And that's troubling because it's so much easier to talk about what we should do than it is actually doing and living the way that we should live. Let me give you an example as a story. A man went to see his vicar last Sunday, and he said to the vicar, he was really, really worried, and he said, after I heard the gospel reading this morning where we were talking about how we have to think of the poor and give to the poor and look after the poor and the needy, I really felt I had to say something. So he said, the vicar said, well, what's up? He said, well, he said, there's somebody I know who is going to be kicked out of their house this week because they can't afford to pay the rent. And really quite worried about it. So the vicar said, that's not to worry. He said, I'm sure we can get a few people together and we'll be able to raise enough money between us all to pay their rent. Look, tell you what, you go and find them and tell them that, don't worry, the rent this month will be paid and they won't have to be kicked out. So with that, he turns around, he thanks the vicar, and he goes on off. And as he's going off, the vicar sort of calls out to him. He said, oh, by the way, how do you know this family? He said, oh, I'm the landlord. Now, obviously there, it gives you a good example of how you say the right words, but you're not living the right way. And that, it's something very important that if we're not careful, we can believe that we are good people because we go to church, we're Christians, we believe we're doing the right things. But we've got to be careful that we are actually living the right way, because if we don't, we could make life for the poor, the weak, that much harder. There's always going to be pain and hurt and suffering in our world. Jesus made it clear to his followers, and we heard that in Luke's gospel reading this morning. And I think this is what he was saying, that this is what they should expect. But just because we accept it, should expect it, it doesn't mean to say we should accept it. Because Jesus is our ultimate example of one who would give his all to demonstrate that another way is actually possible. And he rose again as proof that the other way is, that the other end will overcome the end. As we remember today, as we remember so much suffering and loss, as we remember the hope of God's kingdom, let's not do it in a lazy way, but let's do it in an active way, in order for us to make ourselves into a model for others to be inspired by, in order that we may not be accused of tiring of doing what is right. Amen.